Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. It is the winter, but if you're a true grilling guy, you know that there's no season where we stop grilling. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical for the next couple weeks. He's out in British Columbia for his work this week, and next week he's going down to the Caribbean somewhere to camp on a beach or something and get in touch with himself or whatever that may be. But anyway, so I'm very fortunate. Made a call to one of my best friends in the cooking business, a guy that, as you will hear throughout the show today, is a wealth of knowledge and experience. And I'm not exaggerating. I bet I've eaten 500 meals that this guy has prepared for me over the last 25 years at the various restaurants and places where he's worked. So joining us is Chef Andrew Smith. Andrew, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, Jop. It's a pleasure being here, and can't say that I miss Bob being gone.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you know, everybody likes Bob in small doses, but no, he's a good man, and he's having some fun working this week and going to be playing next week, and everybody needs a little getaway. But we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl this week, but before we get into that, I want to talk about, I bought a tri-tip, went over to Sobey Meats on the west side of Grand Rapids and bought this tri-tip steak, walked in there, had no intention of doing it. But it was a it was one of those deals where there's usually like $9.99 a pound. He had them on sale for $6.99 a pound. Looked like a pretty good cut of meat, but I think I had marginal success grilling it. So it was a little. I got it to the right temperature, but it seemed a little bit tough to me. And I had marinated it in just a store bought jarred marinade, almost a little teriyaki side of the flavor, but. Let's put you to work right now and say, okay, so if you walked in, saw a nice tri-tip, I think it was like 2.5 pounds that I bought. Okay. Take me from the time you walk in the door till the time it hits the grill. What are we going to do with that?
Well, you know, with tri-tips, it's a cut of meat that tends to be a bit on the leaner side, a little bit tougher than most other cuts. So it does lend itself to marinating and or brining. Two different processes. One, you know, the marinating helps to break down that connective tissue. The brining tends to help bring moisture into that cut of meat or product that you're working with. So one, I would, you know, going to the butcher is the best thing to do versus going to your basic grocery store, because your butcher is going to hand select the things that you like. He's always going to have your best interest in mind. He wants to see you keep coming back. So that being said, you know, Sobey Meats, nobody better in town that does it.
Right.
But then, you know, when I get it home, I would probably, you know, take a look at a combination of not only marinating it, but also brining it. So I would probably want to brine it in whatever flavors I want that meat to pick up for, you know, a few hours, and then pull it out. And I'd probably put a marinade on it then at that point to help kind of break that connective tissue down. But you know, the most important thing when you get those type of cuts of meat is, one, cooking it properly. When you go to put it on the grill, I always tell people, first and foremost, it's kind of a 5 to 6 step process when cooking steaks. You know, first step being, you know, letting that meat come to room temperature. That's the number one key, so you get an evenly cooked meat and it's not tough. Two, season it really well. Don't be afraid of using that seasoning. Three, making sure your grill is hot. A hot grill, if you don't have a hot grill or a hot cast iron skillet, you're just not doing it justice. Four, cooking it to the right temperature, you know, and then five and six are the resting. Inch to inch and a half steaks, I usually let rest 5 to 10 minutes. If it's Anything thicker than that, it's 10 to 15 minutes. And if I'm doing something like a huge roast, it can rest anywhere up from a half hour to an hour. Because what you want to do is that intense heat kind of forces everything into the meat, all the juices into the center. And then by allowing it to rest, you let that juice come back out and naturally tenderize it.
Okay, we just covered 1,000 miles in 3 minutes right there because there's a lot of questions that I want to go back on. So I'm going to try to remember them all. I'm going to start at the beginning.
I got one last thing, though, on especially like tri-tips and any steak. The most important part is the last step, and that's how you cut that steak. And you always want to cut perpendicular to how the grain and the muscle runs in that meat. You don't want to cut with the grain because you're going to get longer strands of meat, and it's going to feel tougher to you just in mouthfeel.
Okay. Great. That loaded with tips there. What I first want to do is you said you're first going to brine it and then you're going to marinate it. Okay. So in layman's terms, difference between a brine ingredient wise and the marinade, and we understand what they do. One's creating tenderness. The other one's creating flavor.
Correct.
Right. But what are the basic ingredients of a brine versus a marinade?
In a brine, you're looking at whatever liquid you're going to put it in. It can be water, it can be stock, it can be beer, hard cider, regular cider. It can be, you know, any type of liquid medium that you want to use. You do want to stay away from anything with any high amount of alcohol because that'll tend to toughen the meat up and dry it out. But then you're adding salt to that solution, and typically you're looking at about a cup to a gallon of water. You want dissolved in there.
A cup of salt to a gallon of water.
Right.
Okay.
And that allows you to get the right salinity in that solution. And what happens is just through osmosis, you're moving that salt solution from a higher concentration to a lower concentration.
Okay.
And, then you've got your flavoring ingredients.
And that salt in there, your flavorings might be an aromatic or some other spice. And what you're trying to do is drive that moisture in, and that salt kind of helps that process.
Exactly.
Okay. Does it make the meat real salty?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
You're not going to get an overly salted flavor from it. You will pick up more flavor. And by using your aromatics, your herbs, spices, garlic, onions, you know, whatever you want, it's going to help to infuse that flavor right into the meat.
Okay, so we pull it, and that's tri-tip, this 2.5-pound tri-tip.
Yep.
How long are we going to brine that one approximately?
I typically go on something like that, maybe, you know, 2 hours.
Okay. So we pull it out. Do we rinse it off? Do we pat it dry before we put it in a marinade? Or
I pat it dry just to get, you know, any of the residual off of it.
Okay.
And then at that point, I would put it into a basic marinade that you want to do to help kind of tenderize it and get the outside flavors going.
Okay. And again, the marinade of a few basic ingredients in that and a good one for a tri-tip.
Good one for tri-tip that I generally use is a red wine vinegar and olive oil or blend oil, you know, a neutral oil flavor. And then again, any flavors that you want on the outside of that meat.
Okay.
And you're looking for about a 1-to-3, 1-to-4 ratio of your acid to your oil.
And the acid comes from the vinegar. The oil is obviously an olive oil, like from Old World Olive Company or some other source that you get that from.
Yeah, and you don't need to use anything as high as like an extra virgin finishing oil. You just want a basic oil that's going to carry on the marinade process. And when I say red wine vinegar, you could use cider vinegar, you could use lemon juice, you can use red wine because of the acid in the red wine. So any type of acid product, you know, papaya juice, pineapple juice, you can use because of the enzymes that are in there help to break down the connective tissue of the meat.
And that's what the marinating process is doing, is breaking down that connective tissue. So when you cook it, it's going to be more tender.
Correct.
So we got moisture in it from the brining, and we've got tenderness in it from the marinating. And the combination of those two, you've been working with this cut now for about 4 or 5 hours before it ever is going to even come close to the grill, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And then the part that you said, I think, was number three, and we'll cover this, and then we got to go to break, but number three was bringing it out and letting it come to room temperature. Explain the efficacy or the reasoning behind that.
The reason behind that is what happens is if the steak isn't at room temperature, you're going to hit it with all this high heat and you're going to drive all the juices to the inside, and it's so cold that then what happens is your steak's going to be underdone and you're not going to have that even color throughout. You're going to have that gray outside and that blood rare, raw, chewy inside to it.
Right. Okay, well, pull up your bootstraps and hang on, because we got a little bit of education coming at us today with Chef Andrew Smith joining me here at the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.